I've been praying about going in another direction, but I just couldn't get away from a few things here in 3 John that I felt like would be a help to us. These letters are authored, of course, by John. John, he greets himself or identifies himself as the older, and we talked about that. I'm not going to go into detail about John. I think we understand by John saying he is the elder. At the time that John wrote this epistle, or these epistles, he was the only living apostle, original apostle that was alive. And so he didn't say that he was an elder. He said, I'm the elder. I'm it. I'm the one that's left of the original ones. And I think he had a lot of wisdom. I think that he had a lot of authority in the early church. That is obvious. And even moving forward into the day he died. Here in this letter, we're going to have a word of prayer. We'll read the letter here in just a moment. I'm not really interested in telling you all the background. There is one thing that you should know. This is the smallest letter in the original, in the Greek language, okay? This is the smallest letter of the epistles. It may not be in our English because of words and how they translate over into the English, but this is just, I thought that was interesting. John wrote some pretty brief letters. And brevity doesn't always mean a lack of substance. There's great substance in both of these letters, great truths. The first truth John dealt, or the first and second, his second epistle, he dealt with truth and he dealt with people coming in and trying to take advantage. He said in verse number 7 of 2 John, if you look there just for a moment, he talked about deceivers and those who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And he talked about these individuals being deceivers. They're antichrist. He said in verse number 10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house. And so he's writing more of, look, as Christians, when you're in your home, you need to have values. You need to have Christian values, Christian conviction. Guard your home is basically what he's saying. Guard your home. Don't let people who are false teachers come into your home. Guard your home. Guard the truth. Keep the truth in your home. Keep the truth in your heart. And don't let people come in that are going to try to draw you or steer you away from truth. Now, in the third epistle, he really doesn't take that direction. He talks more about the church. He mentions it in verse number 6. He said, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. In verse number 9, he said, I wrote into the church, but Diotrephes, and we will certainly talk about him some. You probably know a little bit about old Diotrephes. He loved to have the preeminence. And if you've been saved any length of time, you probably heard a message or two on Diotrephes. And then there's Demetrius. He's in verse number 12. But he addressed the letter to a gentleman by the name of Gaius. And tonight I want to talk about Gaius. We're going to read this letter. And the thing that stands out to me is how John, he loved this man. And there's no way that you can just casually read this and not know John really loved Gaius. Maybe because he led Gaius to the Lord and he and Gaius had a close relationship. I can't say for sure. The Bible doesn't say for sure. In verse number 4, he said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now, does this mean his spiritual child? Possible. It's possible that John led Gaius, and we'll talk about that just a little bit. John called all of God's people the children. In his first letter, he referred to God's people as my little children, often. He God's people, my little children. And it's probably because of he was an aged man. As I said, he was senior apostle. He was the only one left. And he had some authority, and he had some position, some rank, if you will, in the church. And that is no doubt why he called them the little children. I don't think he won them all to the Lord. But there's just there's a close connection here between John and Gaius. You may have a close connection with another Christian brother. Maybe it's someone you led to the Lord, or maybe it's someone that led you to the Lord, or maybe it's someone that God has put in the pathway of your life to help you along, or that you've helped them along. Christian fellowship is made up of people who we make bonds with. And it's obvious that John had bonded with this man by the name of Gaius. If you'll notice with me, well, let's stand to our feet. We better read. I'm getting ready to get into this. I really enjoyed just kind of going back. I had done some study before I left to go to Peru, and since I've been back, I've been kind of reading along and just kind of looking at some notes that I had gathered prior to leaving and since I've gotten back. And it's kind of, well, it's kind of rekindled some things. I was going to move on and possibly not even preach this, but God just wouldn't let me move on. Because I believe we have some Gaiuses in our church. I really do. Many of them. Actually, I told a man today, we have a lot of fellow helpers here at Fellowship. And if you'll notice with me in verse number 8, he said that we might be fellow helpers of the truth. Thank God for fellow helpers. Amen. Be a fellow helper. Right? You say, what's a fellow helper? Well, it's just somebody who wants to get involved in helping, whether it be the pastor, whether it be the leadership, whether it be guests, as this is actually talking about guest preachers, whether it be, if you look, I think it's in verse number 5, he said, beloved, he's speaking to guests, this is outstanding, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren. What a statement. You know, and you're on time every time. And he said, not only just the brethren, but you treat visitors, he called them strangers, you treat visitors that way. You're just a great example of a Christian. You're good for the church. That's what he's saying. You're good for what God is doing. Let's read this letter together. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom, if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. I tell you, that guy's a rotten fella. God's going to judge people like that. He is. And I'm glad we don't have any of that here. And you stamp that stuff out early. That's a terrible, terrible, terrible testimony. He said in verse number 11, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear witness, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Father, use your word tonight to challenge our hearts and God, speak to us from your word. Help us to be a good example of the believer. I pray that we would each one strive in our hearts to be a Gaius, a Demetrius. Help us, Lord, to find favor with God and man and to seek to be a testimony in the community that our God is faithful. Our God is worthy of all of the praise of all of the men all of the time. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Well, I mentioned this when I was in 2 John. 3 John is when it comes to truth, if you look in verse number 1, the last word in verse number 1 is truth. Two times in verse number 3, the word truth is mentioned right in the middle, testifieth of the truth. And then the last word in verse number 3 is truth. The last word in verse number 4 is truth. The last word in verse number 8 is truth. And right in the middle of verse number 12, it says, and of the truth itself. And so, again, John places a great emphasis on the truth. And whether it be in your home, and I do believe that in 2 John it was to that lady that he wrote, the elect lady. I believe that it was her home, but I believe there was a church in her home. And I think he was dealing more with the home aspect. Or whether it be in the church, truth is important. Truth. I wonder how important truth is to us in our day. It seems like truth doesn't mean much to people anymore. It really does. It just seems like that truth to most people is what is called relative. In other words, if I think it's so or true, then it's true. But now if I don't think it's true, then it's not true. Well, that's not what truth is based on. Truth is not based on my opinion. Amen. And so John made a big deal about truth. He did. And God makes a big deal about truth. We saw when we were studying 2 John, God, according to Deuteronomy 32, is the source of truth. Jesus is the truth. He's not just the source of it. He's the embodiment of it. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The Holy Spirit of God is the spirit of truth. The Word of God is the, according to James 1:18, the Word of truth. And so God's very, very he's just concerned and he's interested in truth. And he wants me to be as one of his children. He wants you to be. He wants us to be. He wants this church to be. As a matter of fact, we have tried by the grace of God. Now, we fall short. And as the pastor of this church, I'm ashamed of how short I have fallen sometimes. But God knows my heart. I want the truth. I want this ministry to be built on the truth, brethren. I'm not interested in building a name for myself. And I mean that when I say that. And I hope to God that's not what you're in ministry or you're in the church for. We're not here to build a name for ourselves. The name that we want to build and exalt is the name of Jesus. It is His name, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to the glory of God the Father that He's Lord. And so what we want is we want him to have the preeminence. Now, there was a man in this church. I spoke of him briefly, and I will speak on him a little more in detail. But now, he wasn't interested in Jesus having the preeminence. He wanted the preeminence. And sometimes Satan will raise people like that up in the church. He'll plant seeds in a church, and he'll try to sway people to get away from the truth and start following error in a person who wants to replace the truth in having their own preeminence. And I'm glad John called him out. I am. I think people like that need to be called out. And I think it has to be done in a right manner. There's a biblical way. But we're not going to focus on diatrophies tonight. I want to give you some things about Gaius. I hope you'll write them down. Maybe you'll check them and say, you know, do I line up with what God is looking for in a good servant? Am I, look at verse number 8, am I that fellow helper of the truth? Am I the fellow helper? Do I yoke up with my yoke fellows, my fellow servants, as we are co-laborers together with God? We talked about that some Sunday, on Sunday morning, as we get in the yoke. We're not we're not laborers together for God, brethren. We're laborers together with God. That's what the scripture says. And so we're fellow helpers. And how am I helping? What does that look like? You know, what am I doing? We prove our faith by our what? Works. Yeah. And we not only prove our faith by our works, but we take it to another step, and we show our love by our what? Deeds. Isn't that what John said? We don't love in word and tongue only, but in deed and in truth. And so there's action involved in the Christian life, isn't there? There is. It's not just saying I'm a Christian and showing up at church occasionally and toting a Bible now. There's action. God calls us to action. And I appreciate those who step forward and say, hey, look, you know what? I just want to be a fellow helper of the truth. Now, it looks different. Remember, Sunday morning, I'm not going to re-preach that message. But remember now, everyone has a yoke that's tailor-made for them. Your way of being a fellow helper might be different than my way. And this individual's may be different than that individual. See, God has gifted every individual as he has seen fit. And God will use that gift in the local assembly to profit with all. And when we do not use our gifts, brethren, we are not only just in direct disobedience to God, but we're robbing the church family of a blessing. And so I want to encourage you, if you're saved, God has gifted you. And the gift God gave you is not for you, it's for others. Now you use it, but you use it to profit others, not yourself. That's what the word says. Well, here's a man that was using his gifts. Let's look at him just for a moment. I want you to notice this man had a good testimony. A good testimony. The word testimony and its form is used four or five times. Look at verse number 3. He said, I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came. And look at this statement here. And testified of the truth that is in thee. You see that? I mean, Gaius, when people talked about Gaius, they said, I'll tell you right now, that's a man of truth right there. He's got the truth in him. They testified. They witnessed that this man was a man of truth. He was a man of integrity. Then if you look down in verse number 6, he said not only that, in verse number 5, we read that. He said, you know, whatever you do faithfully. He said, which have borne witness, those brethren and strangers that he was doing service for. Look at verse number 6. He said, they have borne witness of thy charity before the church. You see that? They're giving testimony. They're giving witness that Gaius is the real deal. Gaius is not a taught Christian only. Right? Is that right, church?
Right.
Yeah. I thank God we have them here. Every church needs Gaiuses. Not every church has them, but I sure am thankful we have some Gaiuses. Actually, we have a church full of Gaiuses, and I'm not saying that to puff you up. I'm saying it because it's so. And if you're not the Gaius that you should be, you say, well, I've stepped forward, but I just really haven't grabbed hold of what God wants me to do. Well, tonight, may God challenge you to get involved, serve the Lord. And if you're going to serve God, you do it through the local church. The local church is God's ordained place that he works through. Amen. Is that right? Absolutely. And so he said, in verse number 6, he said, these folks are bearing witness of your charity and what you're doing. Notice, if you would, in verse number 12. Now, he's speaking of Demetrius, and he said, he hath a good report. You see that word report? Same word as witness, same word as testifying. People are talking about Demetrius. That Demetrius is a good Christian man. That Demetrius has a good report. That Demetrius is... well, he's the real deal. And then he said in verse number 12 also, he said in the latter, right, the truth itself, yea, and we also bear record. See that word, bear record? That's not a word, that's words, isn't it? It's witness. We also testify, we also witness. And then the final time is right there at the last of verse number 12. And you know that our record, our witness, our testimony is true. You know, Paul put it this way. He said, ye are written epistles in our hearts, known and read of all men. Now, we're all witnesses. You say, well, oh, so-and-so is not a witness. Now, if you're saved, you're a witness. You're going to be a witness. The question is not if you're a witness. The question is, are you a good one or a poor one? We all witness for Jesus Christ. Our lives witness for Jesus. Now, what is our life telling others? Is it a good report like Demetrius? Is it one of charity before brethren and the strangers like Gaius? And so that's really what this letter's about. It's about being a good example, putting yourself to work for God's kingdom, not living your life for you, but living it for others, living it for Jesus. It's the greatest way to live life, isn't it? I mean, it really is. It's the greatest way to live life. Jesus first, others, and then yourself. Someone has taken that as an acronym, Jesus, the J, others, the O, yourself, Y. That's how you have true joy. It really is. If I live my life and I can get caught up in that little cage of a way of living to where I will start thinking about me and everything will be about me, that's a terrible way to live life. That's a terrible way to live life. But when I realize that God saved me not to live for me, but to live for Him, and I start living for Him, He teaches me, because He's the ultimate example to live for others. He humbled Himself. He became a servant, brethren. He was a servant. When I read this letter, God spoke to my heart. You know, some of the most, you have, when you read about this, and I can't get away from this, Diotrephes, I hope there's not one here tonight. He was a dictator. And many times, if we're not careful, the dictator will be the preacher. God hasn't called a pastor to dictate. God's called a pastor to serve. Now, there's servant leadership, right? That's right. Be a good servant. Learn what it is to serve Jesus. Learn what it is to serve others. God will bless you 100-fold when you live your life that way. And so he said this, he said, Gaius, he said, I want you to know your testimony is well spoken of. There's folks, they're testifying of your goodness. I've witnessed it, Gaius. He said, I'm very proud. I'm encouraged by your life. Notice what he said. What a statement. Now, listen, God doesn't just put words in the Bible to take up space. I thought this was very interesting. Look at verse number 1. The elder unto the, not the beloved Gaius, but the well-beloved. I mean, that's a statement, right? He's not just beloved. He's the well-beloved. I mean, this is the kind of guy that it's like a magnet. People just, you know, just drawn to him. He's just one of those kind of guys. You've been around him. You just enjoy being in their presence. They just exude confidence and love. You just enjoy being around them. Then there's people on the flip side of that too. You can't wait to get away from them. I don't want to be that person. And I know you don't either. Let's be Gaius's. And so Gaius he's a well-beloved. In verse number 2, he said, beloved, I wished above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. Now, I believe that I can't prove this, but it certainly is inferred here that he had some physical limitations. And he said, you know, I'm just so thankful that those physical limitations have not affected your spiritual life. Your soul is healthy. Your spiritual life is healthy. You know, sometimes our physical limitations, or what we may lack physically, can affect us spiritually. Oh, Gaius didn't let it happen to him. He didn't. And I pray to God I would not allow that to happen to me. And I'm praying that you would not allow it to happen to you. Now, you know what it takes to be in good health physically? Well, do you? Amen. No, we don't, preacher. Tell us. Sure you do. That was kind of a rhetorical question. You have to eat a balanced diet. You can't just eat anything, right? Oh, you can't? Right? Somebody said, oh, wow, this is news to me. You have to exercise. You've got to get a little exercise in. Yeah. You've got to get some proper rest. You can't burn the candle at both ends. I'm preaching to myself now. I'm probably preaching that 3/4 of the congregation tonight. You've worked all day. You've rushed, and you rushed to come here. And now I found a place where I'm going to get you, so I'm going to stay here for a while. No. I know what it is. Listen, we need to understand proper rest is important to physical well-being. Say amen with me.
Amen.
Yes. So, you've got to eat right. You now I'm really going to preach to me. You can't just eat cheeseburgers all the time. I'd eat a cheeseburger every day if I could eat it and get by with it. As it is now, I just eat them every other day. Amen. And I've cut back. Look, there is a regimen, there is a discipline to be in good health physically. There's a discipline involved. And what John is telling Gaius here, he's saying, look, I'm not saying Gaius was not eating right or exercising properly or getting the proper rest. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that it appears that from verse number 2, he said, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. He said, I'd just like to see you 100%. Maybe he wasn't sick. I believe he was. And he said, I like the fact that your soul is 100%. Your soul, look what he said, your soul prospereth. Is your soul prospering? Are you eating right spiritually? Do you have a balanced diet spiritually? Are you taking in the Word of God, prayer, communion, meditation, memorization? Are you getting God's truth? Notice what he said here about Gaius in verse number 3. He said, I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. What a statement, brethren. What a statement. Gaius just didn't carry the truth. It was in him, right? The truth that was in him. He's got the truth of God in him. The truth of God's what changes our lives, brethren. The truth of God is what will prosper your soul. It'll prosper my soul. The truth of God has changed my life. I'm not the same person that got saved. I stood up here and said October the 26th, 1980. Let me just tell you something. I think you know this because you can testify to this too. We're not the same people that we were when we got saved. God, look what God has done. If we could go back and you could look at this congregation B.C., before Christ, man, we'd be a motley crew. We might have to be, packing and looking over our shoulder. It's just God's word changes lives. It's not just a quaint saying. It is a biblical truth. And so he said, I wish above all things. You hear the love in that? He said, boy, he said, Gaius, you're my well-beloved in verse number 1. And he said, I want God's best for you. And I just wish that you could get beyond whatever it is and that your soul would just continue to prosper and your physical could prosper in health like your soul. And I just hope I realize we have some folks sitting on the sound of my voice at themselves and they have loved ones that are not in the best of health. I understand that. And it's not because of things that I mentioned. I understand that. So don't take that as a careless thing that I said. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying that sometimes we can get ourselves in trouble physically. Sometimes it's through disease. Sometimes it's through age. Sometimes it's through just not taking care of ourselves. How are you spiritually? You taking care of yourself? Are you? You eating right? Spiritually? You getting all your spiritual nutrients that you need? You getting proper spiritual rest? Are you getting in that yoke? My yoke is easy, he said. You want rest? We talked about it Sunday. Get in the yoke. Get in the yoke. Quit resisting. Resisting wears us down, brethren, in our soul. It's when we get in the yoke and we follow the leader that brings rest to our souls. And so he said, I'm thankful that you are in spiritual good health. And there's a discipline in your Christian life. I hope there's a discipline in your Christian life. If there's not, you're going to struggle to stay healthy spiritually. And so I hope that there is. Look, if you would, in verse 3 and 4, he talked about, you know, what a joy it was that this man had a good testimony. There's nothing that would make a parent's heart, a pastor's heart, a spouse's heart, a friend's heart, you know, just to know that your spouse, your church member, your children are just, they're walking in truth. They have a good testimony. And it can be seen. He said it. He said, I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. What does it mean to walk in the truth? Well, we have the definition over in 2 John, verse number 4. He said, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received the commandments from the Father. You're just obeying the word of God. You're walking in the truth. You're obeying what God said. You're doing what God said to do, and you're refraining from what God said not to do. And so these are things that we need. And I trust that you understand that for spiritual health. You say, preacher, I got all that. Well, good. Good. Keep doing it. Right? Keep doing it. Be a guest. Have a good testimony. Have a good report. Be a delight to your spouse. It brings assurance. It brings confidence. It brings trust when we have this testimony. Right? Be that delight to your parents, young people. Be that delight to your pastor, church members. Be that. Then if you'll notice in verse number 5, and I'm going to, in verse 5, 6, and 7, and 8, I'm just going to make a comment, then we'll close. He said, not only are you in spiritual good health, but he said you have a good testimony. You have a good testimony because you're disciplined in spiritual things. You understand that it matters that you read your Bible regularly. It matters that you pray regularly, right? It matters that you attend church faithfully, right? Right? Yeah. It matters that you obey the commandments all the time, not just when you feel like it, all the time. So I can't keep them all the time. Well, try. Amen. You say, well, I tried and it didn't work. Try harder. Amen. Pray more. Discipline yourself. Die daily. Right? Buffet your body. Right? That's what the scripture says, brethren. Quit using excuses. Quit letting yourself off so easy. Be hard on yourself. I would to God that every young person in this building could be sitting right up here in front. I could tell them, listen to me. Be hard on yourself. Don't let yourself off so easy. Toughen up some, right? Have some tenacity about you. We live in such a soft, listen, this generation, I'm telling you, I'm not saying all of them, but oh my goodness, just as soft as cotton. We need some young people, and I thank God we have some here that understand what it is to buckle down. Be hard on yourself. And this is for us too. Let's set the example. Don't let yourself also easy. Well, I'm a little tired. I think I'm not going to read today. Read anyway. Well, you know, bills are a little tight. I don't think I'm going to tithe. Tithe anyway. Amen. Give your faith promise. Walk in the commandments. Walk in the truth. Do what God said. Well, you know, I'm in a hurry. I'm not going to hand that person a tract. Take the time and give them a tract anyway. We need to learn what it is to be sensitive and obedient to the Holy Spirit of God. It'll pay off, now I'm telling you. Now, I want to just close with this, okay? He took what he was and he put it into practice in ministry. And I'm just going to show you a few things here and we'll pick up here next week. He said, beloved, he's talking to Gaius in verse number 5. Thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren. You know, learn what it is to serve other people. You find someone in the church that needs a hand and you do something for them. It may be a word of encouragement. It may be putting a piece of money in their hand. It may be sending a card. Find someone you can encourage and help. This is what Gaius did. Look at again what he said. Thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren. And he went on. He said, you know what? In verse number 6, he said, thy charity is before the church. People notice. When you care about other people, when you're looking how you can help, some folks never look how they can bless somebody. Some folks never are looking how they can be an encouragement and a blessing. They sit there and do nothing. I got to tell you now, that's not a good church member. There's people hurting. You say, well, boy, you go outside of these walls and there's hurting people everywhere. They're inside these walls. Everybody in here is going through something. Amen. We don't know all that people's going through. But I'm telling you, the human experience is tribulation. That's what Jesus said. Rather than man born of woman, his days are full of trouble. As the sparks fly upward. Is that what Job said? You're going through something. I'm going through something. We're all going through something. Don't let that stop you from doing something for someone else. Yeah. Help somebody. It'll probably help you more than it will them. And so he said that thou doest faithfully, you do to the brethren. He said, I'm so glad you're faithful. You're always looking for people. You're just always trying to find a brother that you can encourage and help. That is a good brother. He said, it's not just them, though. Look what he said in verse number 5. He said, strangers, too. Now, I'm going to put the word visitors there. I'm not changing the Bible. I'm just saying I'm trying to bring it up to our time. When people come to visit our church, don't walk right past them. Don't ignore them. Make a big deal. Wouldn't you want somebody to make a big deal if this was your first time? Wouldn't you want somebody to say, man, it's good to have you. Are y'all new to the area? And you just, you know, make a little small talk with them. Don't walk right past them or just stare at them like, what are y'all doing here? Yeah, well, we thought we might be welcome here, but we're beginning to question that. And I know folks don't do that here, but you know what? If we're not careful, we'll get so caught up in our friends and what we're doing that we'll forget. It's our place to make them feel at home. And he said, Gaius, he said, you're faithful at that. Is that what he said in verse 5, brethren? He said, you're faithful at that. You don't just run with the circle. Amen. You're extending out to anyone and everyone. I like that. I think it's a good, I know it's a good testimony. Look in verse number 6. He said, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. He said, you know, he said, people notice. And he said, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Now I'm going to have to close here because of time. I want you to notice that phrase. We'll finish up with Gaius next week and get into Diotrephes, but I want you to notice that phrase of a godly sort. What is John saying there? What is John saying? This is for us, brethren. You know what he's saying? He said, when you help people on their way, on their journey, you provide some things. You'll find this in 1 Corinthians 16, I think it's verse number 6, Titus chapter 3, verse number 13. You'll find this same phrase used, and it's used to help people, to bring people on their journey. It means to help them out to get to where they are, to where they're going. You want to be a help to people. There was a day when churches did that for guest speakers, and that is the first intention that he has here, helping people that are traveling to speak there in that area. He said, always do that, because if you'll read right after that, he said, they didn't take anything from the Gentiles. Nah, they're counting on God's people to help them out. Brethren, we need to help one another out. Now, I'm not saying, I'm just saying that be an encouragement. Find ways you can be a blessing to people. It may be, like I said, it may be just as simple as a smile, and I want you to know I've been thinking of you and praying for you. I pray for your family. Be amazed at the difference that can make in someone's day. If we would just be sensitive and follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, our personal experience would be greater, and then the church, corporately speaking, would benefit. It really would. It really would. Now, we have a friendly church. We have a warm church. People who visit tell me this all the time. But that doesn't mean we couldn't be more friendly. And it doesn't mean that we can't be warmer. Right? We can all do more. We can all do more. Sometimes we walk through those doors, and I know what it's like. And I've got 1,000 things on my mind. Well, maybe not 1,000. Sometimes it feels like 1,000. If I'm not careful, someone can be talking to me and I'll hear about half of what they say. And I don't mean that. I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to do that. And I pray often, God, clear my mind. Help me, Lord. I don't want to disregard the hurt or the need of someone else. People's needs and hurts are real, brethren. They're just as real as yours. All right? And so instead of having all that stuff, ask God, God, help me. Clear my mind. Help me be a blessing. Make me a blessing to someone today, Lord. God, help me count for you. Let someone see your love in my life. God, love someone through me today. That's what John is saying. That's what he's saying. You know, if our churches would become more like that, I think there would probably be more people coming out to them than driving past them. And so let's be more of that. All right? Let's be more of that. All right. What's God going to use you to do? So, preacher, I don't know. Well, ask him. Ask him, God, what do you want me to do? When's the last time you made a sacrifice? This is a question that came to my mind when I was finishing up my study today. I wish I'd finished it a little sooner so this question wouldn't have come to my mind. I'm actually glad it did come to my mind. When's the last time you've made a sacrifice to serve someone else? You gave up something you were going to do to make someone else's day better, to help someone else. You sacrificed. Now, you didn't help them because you had the time. You helped them anyway, even though you didn't have the time. Service that will not sacrifice is not going to last. It's just not. All service requires some sacrifice. But if we're going to be faithful like Gaius, he faithfully served. We're going to have to make some sacrifices. Are you willing to sacrifice time, entertainment, amusement, yourself, maybe even your means? I don't know. I'm going to ask you to stand. Would you do that? Let's stand. We'll have prayer.